Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report. I'm sorry. Is this the church with the one and only Sister AJ? Sorry about that, Saints. Listen, I have a big announcement today. I'm kind of a little nervous, but I'm going to make it with Sister AJ on. But we have a great show in store for you. We're talking about pulpit thieves and fleecers and scam artists and tithe grabbers in the pulpit. And we've been talking about Michael Todd and his rise to fame. And he's got a big church, and he's got crazy ideas. And so let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
All righty, all righty. Got the shows confused there momentarily.
Yeah.
But this is this the church? And so I told the brothers that I have brothers and sisters that I have a big announcement to make. And So I'm glad you're on. I want to make it with you on. And,
okay.
Yeah. Last year, January of last year, I officially became a pastor of a small fellowship. 14 members congregation. Of course, there were more people on the church directory than there were people attending. And the people on the church directory, many of them were in nursing homes. Many of them were at home, not wanting to come out to church anymore because of COVID. So the people that were meeting were about 14. And they voted me in as pastor. And so now by July, the work was becoming overwhelming because the church was rapidly growing. And I spoke to Sister AJ and Sister Marie, and I said, I'm going to have to bring my partnership with you guys to a conclusion, only because, excuse me, only because the work, the pastoring work is just becoming overwhelming. So I said to them, it's July now, so we're going to have August, September, and October. So in 3 months, I would be saying goodbye to both programs. And so as of next week, as of next Thursday, or rather next Wednesday, the 26th, I will be saying goodbye at Sister AJ's broadcast. And as of next Thursday, the 27th, I'll be saying goodbye to Sister Marie's broadcast. Now, I've encouraged both my sisters to continue with the great work they're doing. It's their show. These two shows, Is This the Church and the End Time News Report, they were never my shows. They were their shows. And with Sister AJ, she's almost up to 200 programs, which she's been with us for over 4 years. And Sister Marie has close to 300, which puts her beyond the six-year bracket. So I've been with both these sisters for a long time. They're radio experts now. But as of the 26th, Wednesday the 26th, and Thursday the 27th, I'll be signing off for the last time with them. But again, my encouragement to them is keep up the good work and keep doing the shows, and I believe they can do it solo. I was only a sidekick anyway. So, Sister AJ, next week you'll tell the saints what you plan on doing, whether you're going to continue solo or, you'll inform the saints. So we'll give you another week, and the 26th you can make your plans known. And so we have two more shows to go, so let's do what we always do, which is great work for the Lord. And
right.
I wish everyone the very best in the Lord and much success. These sisters can do these shows with their eyes closed. And with all of this experience that they have, again, They're not rookies. They're well seasoned radio broadcasters. So, all right, Sister AJ, you have the
well one thing I'll say first is that you're anything but a sidekick. You're instrumental to what I do, speaking for self. I don't know if I would have even had the courage to do this without your encouragement and your knowledge and experience, your humor, personality, all of those things definitely help make these shows what they are. So I just want you to know how important you are to us and how blessed that I feel to have been able to do this with you.
Amen. That's very nice
and,
of you.
And, of course, you know.
And it's mutual.
The door is open, and you can always jump back on here whenever you want.
Amen. Amen. The feeling is mutual, and, you know, but, you know, like I said, you guys are seasoned. You hear from the Lord. Because I have to tell the audience, I have never picked any topic. And Sister AJ, if I'm fibbing, you can tell them I'm fibbing. I have never picked any topic for your show. I haven't picked the topic. I haven't picked the audio. When it was your show, you prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to give you what you felt needed to be talked about. You would send over the audio. You would line them up, audio 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we just did the show as you felt led of God, and the same thing with Sister Marie. So that's, you know, all of that is, you know, 90% of the work. Coming here and talking and, you know, clicking on audio, that's 10%. You guys did 90%. You did the research. You did the praying, you did the studying, and then, you know, you put everything together, and here we are doing these shows. So, you know, you guys, like I said, I'm very, very honored to have worked with you and with Sister Marie, and the shows have been phenomenal, and I'm hoping and I'm praying that you guys continue to do what you've been doing now all these years. So,
well, thank you. And as you said, we've been looking at thieves in the temple, the robbers, the deceivers in the church that are stealing from God's people, not only money and material things, but also there's potentially their relationship with the Lord and how they even view him based on how they teach, which is mostly for shameful gain.
Absolutely.
And the latest thief that we are listening to is Michael Todd. He's a young guy. A lot of people like this guy. And he does have a certain level of charisma and drawing power, and he does seem to be somewhat likable. But when you break down what he's teaching and compare it to the Word of God, as with pretty much everybody we've highlighted on this show for the past few years, and, man, it doesn't seem like it's been 4 years. Time really flew.
Right.
But all this time, everybody, when we hold up their teachings and view that fruit by the Word of God, it is severely lacking. And Michael Todd hasn't proved to be any exception thus far. So
right.
What are your thoughts on him so far?
Yeah, he's very hard. He's very hard to listen to because he borders on silliness, theatrics. You know, it's just he's just and of course the content, there's nothing there, you know, there's nothing there. So it's a very shallow young man, very shallow. And even in his way of presenting things, you know, he's not a teacher, he's not an expositor of the Word. You know, he's just, I would just say what we used to say when we used to sit around in the projects on a hot summer day when we had no money, right? We, you know, when you have no money,
mm-hmm.
you sit around the stoop. Because you're not going to the movies, you're not. So when you had no money and it was a hot day, everyone sat around the stoop and we had a ghetto clown who entertained us, and that's what this is. Somebody from the neighborhood wanting to act the fool for the day, and, you know, and what else do we have to do? We have nothing to do. We ain't going nowhere. So we just sit out there and just look at the fool, look at the jester, and that was, you know, that was the cheapest form of entertainment. And
right.
That's what I, that, you know, that's when I look at him, that's what I think of. No content, no depth, not a clue, just a kid with a lot of excitement, and, you know, and his excitement, of course, goes too far because he's got, you know, phlegm. He's spitting phlegm out and then putting it on somebody's eyes. And Jesus never did that. See, that's the whole thing. So it is what it is with this guy, but you cannot argue the facts that he's got a mega church. That's undeniable. You can't deny that, right? I mean,
right.
So people who are listening are probably saying, look at this brother. He's a hater. He still has 14 people, and this guy's got thousands, so he hates him. No, I don't hate him. I'm not a hater, but truth is truth. And, you know, a lot of preachers will let you live the way you want to live, never hold you accountable to what the Word of God says, and those churches blossom. Those churches just, you know, especially if you're promising them wealth and prosperity and all kinds of blessings from the hand of God, which is not the God of the Bible. So, you know, so those kind of churches grow quite quickly, and they keep growing. But in the end, people will realize that, you know, they're following a cult leader.
Right.
Because that's what he is. He's just a cult leader.
That's exactly it. And apparently exuberance and drawing power and money-making ability, it's all that's required to be a pastor in the apostate church, some charisma or trope or stick that you have that will draw people, because theologically most of them just don't have it. And Michael Todd was selected for this by his predecessor and founder of the church, Gary McIntosh, who is best friends with Carlton Pearson, as we've discussed before. So his
right.
Michael's, that is, spiritual lineage already puts him on shaky ground.
Well, anyone who comes to me and says, I come from the Pentecostal Holiness Church, I would really stay away from them like a 20-foot with a 20-foot pole, because Pentecostal Holiness means two things today. Today it means these two things. If you're Pentecostal, you're stupid. That's one. And now I want everybody out there to know that I am Pentecostal church. But when you listen to these Pentecostal preachers, they are stupid. That's one. And number two, holiness means the opposite. These people are rolling in the mud. They're stupid and they're depraved. Okay? When you listen to a guy like Larry Reed, who, by the way, says he's Dr. Larry Reed, when he talks, that guy is stupid when it comes to scripture. He's just dumb. Now he may be smart devil-wise, but stupid
right.
when it comes to the Word of God. And that joker who, and he'll tell you, I'm Pentecostal holiness. No, he is pig mud is what he is. That's what he is. The pig,
right.
the pig mud. So, you know, it is what it is. So when Carlton Pearson and his friend Gary McIntosh, those people don't impress me. Carlton Pearson didn't impress me when he had Azusa Street. And none of the people going to Azusa Street impressed me. None of that was you know, I mean, I wasn't impressed with it. I was never drawn to that nonsense. So, It is what it is. And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. If the tree is stupid, the apple's going to be stupid.
Right. It's just the fruit from a corrupt tree. Corrupt tree is going to lead the bad fruit. So that's what we're looking at in the apostate church. But it doesn't
right.
look like the devil really has to have really smart, intellectual guys anymore that get into all these deep philosophies and stuff, because the church has been sufficiently dumbed down. It's like, you know, a trap, you know, you used to have to, I guess he used to have to camouflage the trap and put leaves over it, everything to hide it. But now he can just dig the hole and wait, because somebody's going to fall into it. And some
right.
of them may even jump into it.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. So people, you know, people in these churches, you hear them hooping and hollering at the dumbest things that this guy says. And that should tell you everything. If you're saying amen and hallelujah and praise God and ooh, that was good, and wow, what a nugget,
yeah.
and oh my goodness, what a pearl. You know, when the guy is talking, you know, stupid stuff, then, you know, it is what it is. I mean,
that's
you know,
right.
it is what it is. So Gary, you know, Gary McIntosh, his only claim to fame, really, is that he was connected to Carlton Pearson.
Right.
But if you look at Gary McIntosh, that guy didn't even draw flies himself.
Not really. I don't think
right?
the church, I mean, it was decent size, I guess, but I don't think it was ever a mega church under him.
Right, and remember, decent size in the Bible Belt, because it's real easy to get anything decent size in the Bible Belt. Real
mm-hmm.
easy.
Especially
you know,
when he had somewhat of a name. Like you said, he's known for the Azusa Street stuff with Carlton, you know, and
right.
whatever else he may have been doing, but he wasn't
right.
a big name out there.
Right, so you look at Gary McIntosh, he's a bishop now. Bishop of what?
I don't know.
Bishop of
I
what?
I guess he got a network of dumb pastors to follow him. You know, who's more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I've told this story before. I had a student, and he said to me, listen, man, I really need a covering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would like you to be my bishop. I said, listen, you don't need that. What you need is a friend. I'll be your friend. No, I'm really looking for a spiritual father. And the guy maybe is 10 years younger than me, and then he's looking for a spiritual father.
Right.
You see, you hear these, and I'm saying, teach you right. I mean, you sat under enough teaching to know. But here he is again. I need a covering. No, you don't need a covering. You got Jesus already. He's your
right.
covering. No, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I need a covering. And will you be my bishop? No. Okay. So I said no to him because I don't do that. And then he went and got Eric Garns to be his bishop.
Mm.
Well, what do you think Eric Garns did? Eric Garns wanted money all the time. Because if you're going to be your bishop.
You pay for that covering.
Right, sure. And then when you ask the guy.
Hello? I don't know if I'm still on or not, but I think we lost Bro. Can't hear anything. So we'll just wait a few minutes and see if he comes back. Bro hasn't come back on yet, so I don't know if the trouble is on my end or his.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me when I was doing Pastor Brenda on Monday. The same thing. I don't know what's going on. I guess I have faulty equipment here. Because it's that same thing happened on Monday night. Somebody was saying, I heard him, and when he said this, and then he went off. So, but
okay, yeah.
So, like I was saying, you know, these people, Eric Garnes, he got Eric Garnes as his pastor, and I said, well, has the bishop been to your place? Nah, he hasn't been. He hasn't been here. Are you sending him the money? Yeah, but when is he coming? I don't know. See, that's what you get for wanting a bishop. That's what you get for wanting a pharaoh. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Exactly.
Now, there was no need for that. There's no need for him to have no bishop and no covering and no... You got Jesus. That's what you have. But
if he's not
know,
enough covering for you, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, the implication. Yeah, the implication is you don't have a relationship with him, because
that's
in a
true.
Relationship, you know, I had a relationship with my father, and my father would tell me he would tell me when I would be acting like the jackass fool. That's what people do when you're in a relationship with them, to tell you you sound stupid, right?
right.
Jesus would have told them you sound stupid. I'm your covering. I'm, you know, but, you know, you can't tell people when they're already convinced by what they see around them that this is the way to
right.
do it. You know, they see the apostate church, and this is the way it's set up. And, you know, they
that,
just want
that covering stuff was a big teaching, and people have bought into it and think that that's what they need. You know, if you've got any kind of ministry or thing that you're doing, you need a covering for it. But they
mm-hmm.
don't realize it's just the money grab
from
the guy
is.
That's doing the covering.
That's all
and
it
he
is.
He really doesn't do anything that really, you know, people that I see that have that kind of setup, I'm like, well, what does this guy do for you? I don't see him doing anything.
I was in Florida one time. On church business, and one of my associates, who after that was no longer my associate, said, we need to go visit one of the churches that I oversee. So we went. It was a little storefront thing, and now I'm driving with, you know, we're all traveling together. Right? We're traveling together. So this is why
mm-hmm.
I have to make the pit stop at that little store. I thought it was something big. It's a little storefront church. That joker left that day, that little storefront, with $1,000. Squeeze those people.
Wow. Like
right?
his personal ATM.
Correct. Correct. And they were willing to give it to that person because it's the bishop. See? And that's
mm-hmm.
what they do. You know, if I'm in Florida and I'm traveling, I got traveling expenses. Okay. Instead of stopping at a real ATM the way you would, Sister AJ, or the way
right.
I would, he stopped at a church ATM and got the money from the members.
Right.
See? You see how these, I mean, they're slick that way.
Yes, they are.
So it's a travesty. And once I began to see who was who, that's it. Bye. I can't walk with you. I can't hang with you. This is
mm-hmm.
what you're about. This is what you're about. I don't want people to confuse me with you.
That's right.
So this is the way the church is set up, sadly, and what are you going to do about it? Like you said, people are willing, you said before, when you used to go trapping, you used to do a big hole and then put leaves over it so that the bunny rabbit can jump in, think it was ground, and he jump in, and he fall into the hole, and you got him. Now, just dig the hole and then tell the people, you jump in there. And they jump.
Right.
You don't have to put camouflage. You don't have to disguise that it's a trap. Or, no. Tell them, that's where I want you to jump into. And they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it.
Yes, indeed. Sadly.
Sad state of affairs. Sad state of affairs in the church today. So Michael Todd, after getting those books from Mr. Morris, Robert Morris, who's another thief. Oh, boy, that guy is a big-time thief.
A big thief. Oh, my goodness. And Robert Morris, this sermon we're listening to was the first installment, but Robert Morris teaches a block on the third installment of this sermon series that Michael's doing here.
Wow. And no doubt,
but
Michael.
They got
Michael
that big
the
new
palm.
Building they got to pay for.
Sure.
So
sure.
I guess Michael's got to pull out all the stops to continue to squeeze people for money. And it's really, you wonder if some of these people are just narcissistic psychopaths or something, of how they're only concerned about getting their money during the times we're living in now.
Yeah. I mean, but think about it. Michael Todd starts the sermon by telling the people, I'm going to be talking about me. 5 minutes into it, he's talking about them.
Exactly. Telling them
he says,
I'm
going to expose
too
me.
Much.
Right.
That's
right,
why
right.
You don't give it.
That's right. Absolutely. So, when I go shopping, I'm pretty sure that jacket that he has on, that looks like an expensive jacket. I could take all that money he spent on that jacket and go to the Salvation Army thrift store where I live at, and I'll leave with two shopping carts worth of stuff.
Right.
For what he paid
That's
for
right.
that jacket. Two shopping carts. So it's crazy. But, hey, people are there. And look at the background. I mean, those signs that he makes, those huge signs, they're huge.
I think that's a TV screen, so that's more, even more expensive than the signs.
Right, sure.
Because, you know, a lot of churches have it where the whole back wall is a TV screen, and it's huge. You know, some of them that I've actually seen, they're like
mm-hmm.
the screen at a movie theater.
Right. Yeah, those things are very expensive. But, you know, you listen to Cora Jakes and you listen to Joe Osteen's kid and, you know, God's taking pictures of me and showing them to the angels and I'm his baby and I'm all that and God is just showing
yes.
me off. And you just, like you said, narcissistic. This is all narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, but that's,
instead,
you know.
Instead of theology, they're teaching meology.
Correct. Absolutely. Yep. That's what they're teaching.
So
meology.
I know, as difficult as it's been on your ears, we'll get back to this sermon review, and I think last time we left off at the 40-minute mark, so whenever you're ready.
All righty, let me bring it. Now, normally we go back a little bit, but this guy is so insufferable that we're going to start it at the 40 because he's awful. He's awful.
Right.
Here he is.
The Bible said God has not given us a spirit of. See, fear is the motivator. It's fear of running out. It's fear that I won't have enough. This is very human. It's fear that I'll lose the job. It's fear. The only reason he's holding on to this mentality so long is because it's fear. Hold it up over your head, Charles. It's a 20-pound ball. This is what many of you feel like every day you go to work. It's really work because you're holding a poverty mentality over you everywhere you go. You literally can't talk without it. You can't love without it. You don't meet nobody. You won't even order the amount that you need to actually have your business flourish. You always got to do just a little less just in case God don't come through. He gave you the plan and showed you the vision. But you still are overlaying your poverty gospel over the plan of God. No, no, no. Keep your hands up, baby. No, 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 no. You're worshiping with the poverty gospel. You're serving with the poverty gospel. You'll walk 9 miles in the snow instead of get valet because it doesn't make sense to spend that money to keep your wife safe. She's pregnant. Why is your wife walking that far to save $10? But you'll still buy $120 pair of shoes?
You see how juvenile that is?
Yes. And for the audience, the listeners, he's got one of his demonstrations, I'll call it, and he's got the guy up there holding a medicine ball thing over his head, and that's what he's doing to illustrate this.
Right.
So, and I was like, that ball to me represents the symbol of the burden these thieves put on the people to sacrifice and give them all their money. I mean, listen, you know, valet, you know, I don't even go places that have valet parking. Do you
No, well, listen, you know what I do? This is what I do. I roll up with the family, right? I roll up with the family. I drop them off right in front of the establishment.
Right.
Then
exactly.
I by myself, I go 10 blocks away and park the car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make my wife or my kids. First of all, my wife and kids are not dumb enough to have me drive them 10 blocks a day and say, why did you drop us off in the front? My family's smart.
Right.
So what you do is, you know, listen, when we used to go down to New York City to visit family, parking is horrendous. So I would park in front of the house. We would unload all the goodies in front of the house. They would take the stuff in. Then I would spend a half hour, 45 minutes waiting for somebody to pull out so that I could pull in. That's the way we worked it.
Right.
My wife ain't sitting in the car with me and the kids and we're going around and no. But anyway, listen, the story is stupid. None of it, this is just nonsense. Like you said, nonsense. This is just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
None of this has to do with scripture. None of this has to do with living. None of this. Look, we're in a world of trouble with this inflation. A
mm-hmm.
world of trouble. And we're going to
yes,
listen
indeed.
To this. We're going to listen to this.
And we've
fool.
Got winter coming up too.
Sure.
But this was done last March. So it, like I was saying, in this economy, this is the kind of sermon these guys are preaching.
Crazy. And they don't make sense. They don't make his sermons don't make sense. And none of what he just said makes any sense. That medicine ball going back and forth between him and one of his men, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, but let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if he can go any lower than that.
300 on the resale market? No, baby, keep your hands up. Woo! The reason he's struggling because he was never meant to carry this weight. The poverty gospel is too heavy for God's children. Yet many of us don't just hold it, we pass it to our family members. Let's stay right there.
What are you going to do when a loaf of bread costs $5? That's not poverty mentality. That's just the economy.
That's right.
What do you do when you walk up?
That Jesse hadn't read Revelation where it says at some point coming up a loaf of bread will be worth a day's wages. You have to work all day just to buy a loaf of bread.
Sure. Like I said, I mean, poverty mentality, listen, there are people who just can't make ends meet. Their income, their income just does not allow them to make ends meet. That's, you know, and we have to remember things that before this pastor gets your money, Pastor Sam got your money. The U.S. government, they made deductions. They took deductions out your paycheck. So gets worse. It just gets worse.
That's right.
This guy has this, and listen, the congregation is all hyped up. I mean, oh my goodness, this is like the tablets coming down, Moses coming down the mountain with the tablets.
And just like the question I asked with Creflo Dollar when we were looking at him, are these people going to be able to go to Michael Todd and get any real response when the bottom falls out of everything and everyone's on their own?
Correct. All right, let's see what else he's got here.
There's an example of this in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 4, you struggling? Oh, you just holding on to it now. So you went from holding it up to now just holding on. I'm trying to show you that the only thing that's keeping him up now is the ideas of poverty. He went from being able to handle it to now not even being able to stand up unless he's holding on to it. So when he hears the blessed life, he's like, I don't want to talk about none of that because I know what keeps me stable. I know what I can go through. You can talk about giving offering. You can talk about generosity. But I know what's made me survive the last 15 years. That's why I work and I grind and I hustle. And you still have nothing at the end of the month? And you still just barely getting by?
That is almost everybody in America today.
That's right. That's right.
Why do you think the Republicans are going to win in a landslide? Is it because people love the Republicans? No.
No. They're promising relief from this burden, or at least people are hoping they'll do something.
That's it. The people want change. This is all over the country. People are screaming about the price of gas, the price of oil to heat their homes. They're screaming about food prices. They're screaming. That's not poverty mentality.
It's hard to even budget because it seems like every time you go to the store or go to the gas station, the price has changed.
Right.
So you can't even budget for it anymore, really, or it's difficult to because you don't know what the price is going to be when you get there the next time.
Right. Absolutely. So it's not a poverty mentality, it's a poverty reality.
That's right.
You just look at things and you say, okay, I can't afford it. I can't afford this. I can't. That's just being real.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, listen, here's the thing. Why am I going to park valet when all I have to do is park three or four blocks away, I get some exercise walking back.
Right.
Because, I would be dropping the wife and the kids off right in front of the establishment. When the valet guy comes, I say, no, thank you. I'll park it. I'll have to give him all I got to do is drive a little bit and find a parking and then walk those four blocks back, which were nothing. That's,
mm-hmm.
Listen, that's being a good steward. That's not poverty mentality. That's just being a good steward.
That's right.
I mean, I can't give all my money away to everybody. I can't do that because then I'll be broke.
Well, they don't care if you give it to everybody. Just give it to them.
Yeah. All right.
Somewhere along the way, we have let the fear motivate us to the place where we believe in the gospel of poverty. And there's an example of this in Matthew chapter 25. Just hang out right there, Charles. Y'all laughing at him. This is how you've looked for 15 years. You got more clothes than you know what to do with, but more debt than you can handle. And still going to the mall this weekend. Why would you even put yourself in that position? People are offended. Matthew 25, verse 14. There was a man that God gave a talent to steward over. And he gave three men different things according to their ability to handle it. 1, 2, 5. The one with 2, he doubled it. You can read it in Matthew. The one with 5, he doubled it. But the one that God gave 1, all he wanted from that man was to double it. But look what this man said in Matthew chapter 25, verse, let's go 25. He said, I was afraid I would lose your money. I would fumble this opportunity. So I hid it in the earth. I dug a hole because of fear. I'm digging a hole because of fear. What did they call going into debt? I'm going into the hole because of fear. Whoever's been living in this idea of poverty and has been holding on to the gospel that is rooted in fear, today is your day to be transformed. Because more money, more problems is an idea that God is not pleased with. And you've got to change your thinking. But, oh, shoot, there's an extreme to this. Abby, come here. Because one day, Charles came in with the poverty mentality. But you go on over here. Because the extreme of the poverty mentality is the prosperity gospel. And this is where most people in church have gotten the wrong idea that it's give and you'll get. Give and you'll get. God is not a slot machine. This is not Las Vegas. He's trying to teach you principles, and there are results from giving, but it is not the motivation of my giving. And what ends up happening is the pendulum swings. And now Abby is holding on to the MMMP. Not more money, more problems. More money, more pleasure. This is how people think about the prosperity gospel. If I can create some more pleasure, put it on the screen right here. If I can create some more pleasure, if I can have more possessions, the more things I have, the more significance I have, the more square footage I have, the more designer I have, and people will manipulate to stay in this place so that they can live in the prosperity gospel. And the truth of the matter is, God is not pleased with that either. Take the middle one off the screen. I want them to see the dichotomy right here between the poverty and the prosperity. Both of them, God is done with. He's sick of them. He's sick of them dividing the kingdom because we're either on one of these ends of the spectrum. And some of y'all think your lake house is something to be enamored by. But you got a lake house and you escape your children who need you. And they're developing habits right now that you gave them. Oh, when you feel bad, go to the bar and drink as much as you want. When you feel bad, go buy designer clothes. When you feel bad, go buy a new car and hold it, Abby. Keep it over your head. And it doesn't matter who you are and where you are. If she has to hold that for any length of time, did you work out this week? She said, you know I didn't work out this week. This is where people feel every day. And some of you are like, Pastor Mike, that is not me, but it's somebody. And there's ways that you can move from here to here and still be out of the will of God. Oh, God. Watch this. More money, more pleasure is the confession of the prosperity gospel. And let me tell you what the prosperity gospel is fueled by. See, the poverty gospel is fueled by fear, but the prosperity gospel is fueled by futility. Futility. Let me tell you what it means. Pointless or useless? All the stuff we're buying right now, pointless. All the places we're going, useless. It's not going to produce anything in the long run for you, and you're steady holding it up. Can I give you an example of somebody who bought in to the prosperity gospel real close to Jesus? Because this is where religious people live. Religious people judge other people and tell them what they should be doing with their money when they are actually the ones that have not found the heart of God around generosity and stewardship. Keep it up, Addy. Stay right there, baby. You've had three kids. You're strong. In John chapter 12, verse, all she's thinking about right now is how can I hold this up another day? The same way that there are many people watching that, how, if one more bill comes in, if that medical actually comes back and collects, if I lose my job, what are we going to do? Yeah. And God said, I never meant for you to live in either one of these extremes of pressure. I want you to find the gospel that will transform your life and help you live a blessed life. I'm going to go there in a second, but I got to show people who are holding this up. Are you okay, Abby? She's not okay. I need to show people who are living in the process. Oh, y'all didn't know. They're married. So now when they have children, these two are married. So now the conflicting views that they came from are what Arlo, Luna, and Jade have to wallow through. Because in conversations about the house, it's prosperity gospel. But when it comes to where the kids get educated, it's poverty gospel. And when it goes from us buying designer clothes, it goes to the prosperity gospel. But when it comes to us getting the counseling we need, because I was touched at a young age and nobody even talked about it, it costs too much for counseling. And we swing back. Wow. Here we are. Wow. And guess what happens? Throw it to me. I'm your kid. I'm getting hit.
And Sister AJ, I keep hearing people in the background saying, wow, wow, wow. What is
yes,
this?
Yes, me too.
And I'm saying, what did he say? He's talking gibberish.
And he completely mangled Matthew 25, by the way. Because Jesus said, and prosperity, he claimed he's not a prosperity teacher, but he is. And they love the parable of the talents. But that
absolutely.
It's not even talking about money per se. It's, Jesus had just finished parable of the 10 virgins, and the chapter before that, of course, he was explaining the end times and what would be happening to his disciples. So this is a continuation of that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, the again, he is so lost, so confused, doesn't know what he's talking about. And the people are saying, wow, wow,
wow. Right. And the prosperity gospel that people, these false teachers teach, if people buy into, he's acting like it's people that have extra money and they just decide to blow it on things. But it's people that are in there struggling that buy into this because they're promised that God is going to bless them and they're going to have more money to pay their bills. But these pastors have a vested interest in you having more money, especially more extra money, because that's more you're going to give to them if you buy into this. He's lying when he says the prosperity gospel is just about showing off your material wealth. Most people that go to these churches aren't anywhere near wealthy.
Correct. Now, the only person that I know that's wealthy in the Prosperity Church is the pastor.
That's right. He's at the top of the pyramid.
That's it. That's the only one. That's the only one. I'm pretty sure that this young lady that he just said, you know, you got three kids. I'm pretty sure she's trying to figure out how she's going to buy milk and groceries with the inflation the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's struggling. See, it's easy when you have all the offering plates in front of you and it's yours.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what
And the money he quote-unquote gives away is church money.
Right, people money.
He's giving the church back a little bit more, a little bit of their own money that they gave.
Correct.
I don't believe he's taking it out of his bank account.
No, he's not. No, he's not. So I keep hearing these people say, wow. Wow to what? What did he say that deserves a wow? I mean,
I don't know.
It's okay. Let's see.
Then mom takes it back. She talks about how I can't play on the basketball team because it costs too much money for uniforms. And then dad takes it back and say, we're going on vacation, but you can't go on an airplane. We got to drive. It's too many of y'all. You had all them kids. You can't believe God that he would give you the resources so you could spend more time at the place instead of driving 2 days to California.
Again, a moron. Everybody,
yes, he is.
Listen, people say, okay, I got to go to my family's for Thanksgiving. What's the best option, driving or plane? People do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Me personally, this is just me now, I like the car better than the plane. Because we get to stop at different places, see different things. For example, I don't know if you have these where you live at, but up and down the east coast of the United States, when you're driving from New York down south, they have these restaurants called Waffle Houses. Do you have those in where you live at, Waffle House?
No, but I know what you're talking about, yes.
Right.
But they don't have them here.
I love road trips.
They have mostly IHOPs here.
Yeah, the Waffle House, they have three eggs scrambled with shaven home fries and a T-bone steak. That's my favorite. And you can only get it at Waffle. So on a plane, I can't get that.
You sure won't. You're lucky,
right,
if you get a little bitty bag of peanuts and some water.
There you go. So a lot of families like to drive. I'm one of those. I like to drive. Now, of course, my wife and my daughter, they went to visit family in Georgia. They went on a plane. But if it was me, I'm driving. I love to drive. I love to see the sights. That's just me. And then, of course, you factor in gas, hotel, your stops, where you're stopping at, you know?
Right.
So everybody does that. Everybody. And so what? So I have all these kids. Of course I believe in God. That's why we have a car. That's why we have a car to put all the kids in. So what he's saying, everything he's saying is just optional. Some people opt to take the plane. Some people opt to take the car for different reasons. They're not all the same reasons. They're not all the same reasons. So he's too generic. He's too much of a blanket statement kind of guy, and it's just all stupid.
This is how they do to in a low-key way, smack people and browbeat them into giving up more money to his church.
Here's the thing. You're not going to prosper sitting under someone like this who, as far as financial education, is a moron. He's a moron when it comes to financial education, so why would you even listen to this guy? Remember, and Saints, you have to remember at the beginning of the sermon how he said he got all this stuff from a guy named Robin Morris.
That's right.
And Robin Morris is a financial moron. So
one of the biggest thieves going right now.
Correct.
As far
so
as tithing and all that stuff goes.
Right. So if you're going to follow Robert Morris, you're in trouble. If you're reading his books, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble. Big trouble. So basically what he's doing is he's copying. This is plagiarism. Because he read all the books.
Yep.
Right? And then he brings them on to help, you know, seal the deal.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay.
Come on. 28 years old, never been on a plane.
Wow.
Yet got every Jordan.
Wow. Come on.
Again, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Not everyone likes to fly or has an interest in it.
Listen,
like you
I know
say,
people.
There's always nuances to these things. People have their different reasons why they choose not to fly anywhere.
Right. Some people are definitely afraid to fly.
Yes.
Some people flew once. They didn't like the fact that they had to be at the airport 2 hours before the flight. They didn't like the fact that they had to take off their belt, their shoes. They didn't like the fact that they took stuff out of their suitcase and threw it in the garbage. They didn't like the fact that the flight was delayed. They didn't like the fact that, that when they got to their destination, their luggage got lost. So there's different reasons why people prefer not to fly.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand reasons. And if you're kooky like Kenneth Copeland and Jesse the Planners, they don't like flying because they don't want to be in a tube with demons. There's different reasons.
Right.
So this guy doesn't make any sense. He doesn't make any – and that's the whole point of – I mean, this is just gibberish. He's just talking. You know, he's just – but he's not saying anything. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make, you know, when you listen to a great communicator, take for example, the black comedian, what's his name? Dave Chappelle. Okay?
Okay,
You listen to Dave Chappelle. The guy's a great communicator. When he talks, he makes a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the difference between Dave Chappelle, who's a comedian, looking at life and then breaking down life and adding some humor to it. And this guy makes no sense.
This guy is a clown. Like you say, he's just being silly, but he's not making any sense in what he's saying to us. He's not teaching.
He's not saying anything. These are all silly opinions. Silly opinions. That's all this is. That's all he's saying. Right?
That's right.
When I used to go to London, right, and after I participated in the conferences and all that, people would say to me, okay, we're going to Buckingham Palace. No, thank you. let's get on a double-decker bus to go see Big Ben. No, thank you. And they would go on and on to the different places that they wanted to take me to sightsee. Let's go to a tower bridge, or the one place that I did go that I saw was Cleopatra's Needle, which is an obelisk. I found that interesting.
Yeah.
But all my other time, I was in some dungy, dusty bookstore looking for books that I've always wanted and I couldn't find in the States. That was my preference.
Right.
They wanted to take me sightseeing. I wanted to spend hours in old bookstores. You see, it's just a matter of preference. That's all it was. You're going to spend money sightseeing because you have to pay for the tour bus. Or you're going to pay for it when you buy the book. Either way, you're paying. It's just what your preference is, what you want to buy, how you want to spend your time. I got a kick talking to all those antiquarian bookshop owners. Those guys were very interesting to hear their stories and, you know, how they started in the business and how long they've been. I find all that stuff fascinating. That's the way I chose to spend my time. Then the next time I went, what do you want to do? I want to go back to the place where I went before. You mean that the bookstore? You want to spend 5 hours in there again? Yeah, I want to go back. Because the guy no doubt has new stock.
I guess Michael Todd would say you've got a poverty mentality.
I got a poverty mentality, see? But you see, he's stupid. Because it's a matter of what? Preference. I'll take $1,000 and I'll buy myself a herd of goats. I'll probably get me, you know, 4 females and a buck for $1,000. And someone will go with the same $1,000 and buy a bottle of champagne. It's a matter of preference.
Right.
Right?
But
I mean,
yours
it's,
might be the more wise choice if someone knows how about livestock and how to deal with them, that would be the wiser choice to do what you did than getting a bottle of wine.
Right. Or let's say the guy's buying the bottle of wine because he's going to make $1 million deal. Right. And he wants
okay.
to impress. So in that case, you know,
yes.
that's the wise choice for him. Right. I mean, that's, you know,
right.
it depends. This, but again, it's a matter of preference. I don't have to criticize, and say he's got the poverty mentality. Right? Because this guy likes Jordans. So let him buy whatever he wants.
And if he's got a little extra money where he can buy some, because let me tell you, Michael Todd loves sneakers. He's got tons of them.
Sure. Of course he does. The guy is talking about poverty and prosperity. He's on the prosperity side and his members are on the poverty side. That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not educating anybody, not through this gibberish.
No.
This is all dibber-dabber. You don't know what he's saying. He's like one of those
right.
gopher Indians.
He gets you confusing. Confused.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's see what else he's got to say here with this medicine ball that makes no sense.
Can you see how confusing it would be?
Yeah.
And how many hits that we take?
Wow.
Because we're raised in two cultures that are not kingdom. And we believe in the poverty gospel or the prosperity gospel. Just keep holding it right there. John chapter 12. Why was it the perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Pop quiz. Does anybody know who said that? Judas. One of Jesus' disciples had a prosperity gospel mentality. He was over the money. But when Mary came to pour oil on Jesus' feet as his only burial, Judas stands up religiously and says, we should have used that to help the poor. And the Bible literally says in John 12, verse 6, Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to take from what was put into it. The poverty mentality and the poverty gospel will make you judge what other people do, knowing that you're a thief.
Wow.
Tell me what was so profound about I'm tripping up more off of the crowd than him.
Yeah, I gotta give him a preaching GPS because he's lost.
Judas was the poverty, had the poverty mentality. So is that why he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver?
Listen, this guy, like I said, he's just a brain donkey. That's all this is. He's just a brain donkey. None of this makes any sense. This is all over the place. And it's all juvenile talk. That's all it is. That's all it is. There's nothing here of substance.
When he
nothing.
Says a person is a thief, is he refer, even though he's not going to go to that scripture, is he kind of referring to Malachi 3, will a man rob God? You're a thief and robbing God?
Well, he's the kind of thief, or the thief he's referring to is his kind of thief, where the
right.
money belongs to the Lord, but Judas the preacher is dipping into the money. First of all, you can't say that to the members because the members don't have access to the ministry money bag. That's one. Number two, you can't say that to the members because the members are not ministers. Judas was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to point that finger back at you. You're the Judas.
That's right.
You're the Judas. So, yeah, this is a mess.
They gave to what? They doing what? They don't even do nothing right with the money. It's a prosperity gospel. And this is the beautiful thing. Keep holding it up, Abby. I want you to keep holding it up. Hold it up. The reason why this is a problem and the reason why we have to identify where we're at is because God continued to give Judas a chance to transform his heart. You don't think Jesus knew that he was a thief, but he let him steward over the money? Oh,
wow.
Who's giving out the positions in Jesus' squad?
Yeah.
Jesus. He said, Judas,
wow.
You take the money.
Wow.
And for 2 years, let him steward over what he knew he was stealing. Why? Because of his love for Judas. He said, I'm trying to give him an opportunity to change. And it was the very thing he sold Jesus out for, 30 pieces of silver. Because he had the prosperity gospel running through his veins. Okay. So can I tell you why? Abby, you going to be okay?
Wow.
Yeah, I thought he just said Judas had the poverty gospel mentality a few minutes ago.
He's all over the place.
Was Jesus really trying to get Judas to change and to see his,
he's the
Lord
son of perdition.
Right.
No,
the Lord knew who he was, and he had a purpose toward the furtherance of, you know, what Jesus was there for, and that was why Judas was there. He had a part to play. Jesus knew what he was.
Yeah. No, theologically, this kid is just completely, he's just, you know, what are you going to do? His mentor is Gary, whatever his name, McIntosh. And that guy's mentor was Oral Roberts. So
that tells
you everything. That just tells you everything. You know, the old people were wise. They would say, okay, listen, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Never forget that. That's an old adage. It's full of wisdom. It's full of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If Bernard Jordan is hanging out with Reverend Ike, and he's saying, Reverend Ike is my mentor, Reverend Ike is the tree, and I'm the apple. Okay, what do you think Bernard Jordan is going to be?
He's going to be just what he is, a thief, a wizard, a fleecer.
There you go. So you look at Michael Todd, and all his mentors were Pentecostal. And like I said, I gave everybody on the air the key to knowing what Pentecostal means. Stupid. That's the key.
Right.
That's the key. So once the moment George Bloomer says, you know, I'm Pentecostal, okay, stupid. All right, that's it. I pegged you.
Yeah, I get it.
That's it. So anything that comes out of their mouth, you're just going to know doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Because that's what the Pentecostal church has become. The modern-day Pentecostal church is the church of the stupids. That's all it is to it. I tried explaining this. A lady came to me and said, you know, I believe in binding the devil. Okay, knock yourself out. Go do it.
How does he keep getting loose?
Go do it. Go be stupid. Go do it. That's what you're into. Knock yourself out. You're going to go bind the devil, and I'm going to go and rake leaves. That's all. I'm not even going to argue with you, because to argue with you is insane. Because at the end of the day, you're going to wind up trying to bind me. That's what you're going to, you know, because these people are stupid. It's stupidity. Look, when these people say we want to protect women's productive rights, and then you're killing a baby, how do those two things how do you even reconcile the two? But you know what? You have people fighting for that stuff because they're stupid.
Yes.
That's it. You know, you tell people climate change is destroying the world. Okay, do you know that we've had less hurricanes in the last 30 years than before that? Now, hurricanes are a real thing, but we've had less of them. You're saying the earth is getting hotter. According to your theory, if it was getting hotter, we would have more. Well, we're getting less. See, they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they're stupid.
Get away with those kinds of things when you redefine what stuff means. And like you said earlier, Pentecostalism has been redefined. It's been changed to something else.
Correct. Absolutely. You have Bishop Yvette Flounders telling people, my grandfather or somebody in the family, he's the one who helped Andre Crouch write Oh Happy Days or whoever wrote it. And, you know, we were there in the beginning. Yeah, but you're not there now.
That's right.
And the thing is, you were there in Church of God in Christ, but you were not in Christ.
Right.
See, that's
she was
thing.
Never there.
Right,
she just
exactly.
Could sing. She could just sing really well. That's all.
That's it. That's it. See, so when they say things like that, okay, you want to be stupid? Go ahead. And they got tons of people following them. Tons. Because,
yeah.
You know, it's the world today. It's the world that we live in. So here's Michael Todd.
She said no. Judas, along with many of us, I'm trying to be calm in this first one. I'm trying to just give you.
The audio went out again. I don't know if anyone can hear me, but we can't hear the audio again. Sorry for the technical difficulties we seem to have today. And we'll wait and see if Bro can get back on. Guess that's technology for you. It can do some great things, but boy, when it starts acting, really mess your day up.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not making any sense here.
Hello, bro?
Yes.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear
okay.
You.
Okay. I couldn't hear you there for a minute or two. I don't know if it was technical difficulties again.
Okay. Let me play back because he said there's some people that God has brought into your life that you have to X out of your life. But wait a minute.
Okay.
Why would God bring somebody rotten? That then later on I have to kick him out. I want you to hear that.
Okay.
Prosperity gospel running through his veins. Okay. So can I tell you why? Abby, you going to be okay? She said no. Judas, along with many of us, I'm trying to be calm in this first one. I'm trying to just give you a little bit to just sit with. Judas, along with many of us, have the spirit of mammon. Y'all just stay up here. You're going to struggle. You just, I'm going to hold this for you for a second. No, I'm going to give it to your husband. And the reason I'm going to give it to him, because honestly, what ends up happening is we start picking up the characteristics of the people we're around.
Now listen to this next phrase.
Okay.
And there are people that God has brought into your life that you need to X out of your life.
I don't get that. If God brought them in, he had to bring them in for our good.
Right. That makes sense. If God, is it saying God made a mistake or?
Yeah.
And some relationships are temporary for whatever reasons that, you know, they may not stay lifelong friends, but it's not because they're bad that they were, you know, you went your separate ways all the time. It's like he's saying we have to correct God because he brought somebody in and now we got to get rid of them.
Yeah, and you would think that why would God put a stumbling block in front of us by partnering us with the wrong person? Or with the wrong people.
Well, but sometimes it is really the opposite. Our choice is we might bring in someone that's
correct.
Not good for us to be around, and God is the one that would have to move them out. However, those experiences can be used to teach us something.
Correct. All right.
Because they have been giving you lessons from a gospel that is not rooted in the kingdom. Okay, I'm going to just leave it right there. Most of us have the spirit of mammon. And now I know this is something that's big. You see how I'm teaching flat-footed? Because I just need you to learn today that there are things that are going on in you that you've never had language for, but today I want to give you language to figure out why you've been where you've been. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. This is stewardship. Verse 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, underline that, circle it. That's only used three times in the Bible, and two of them are in this verse. Who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, this is one of the only places in the Bible, now I need you to hear me, that God directly compares himself to something. Because nothing else is even worth to be compared to him. But he says, "You, it's either me or mammon." And most people just translated money. But it's way deeper than that. So I'm going to take you on a journey to figure out what mammon actually is, if God's saying we should not serve that, okay? Mammon is an Aramaic word for riches. It was a Syrian god actually named Mammon. And it came from the people in Babylon. Babylon comes from the Tower of Babel. Y'all remember when the people were going to use their own strength to...
Okay, which one is it? Is it Assyrian god or is it Babylonian?
Babylonian. They're two different nations.
Exactly. And here's the other thing. I've heard Robert Morris say this, and of course Robert Morris cannot cite anywhere where Mammon was an Aramaic god.
Yeah, I never heard that.
I have looked at all of Robert Morris's books. He says that stupid statement all the time, but he can never substantiate where Mammon equals an Arabic god. Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. So this is how you know he copied Robert Morris.
Yeah,
and
he's doing it badly. It's like, have you ever had those people in school that copy off somebody else's paper and mark all the wrong answers?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Or he's getting the worse than Robert is. My goodness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. This is he's so off, it's unbelievable.
Build a tower up to God. And if you need to remember Babylon, just think of Babel on. Have you ever met somebody who just babbles on and just talks a whole bunch? That's how we remember this, okay? Babylon means confusion. This word together means sown in confusion. Babylon is a group of people that felt like they did not need God. Let me tell you what the spirit of mammon is, and write this down. The spirit of mammon is a belief that we don't need God if we have riches. Most people feel, if I got money, don't need God. I am God.
First of all, mammon is not a spirit. The same way there's no spirit of Jezebel, there's no spirit of Ahab, this guy here, if he was at the Apollo Theater, the Sandman would have already yanked him off the stage a long time ago. This guy is awful. Awful.
Well, he needed to read verse 14 in Luke 16 to kind of give a clue what mammon was about, where it says the Pharisees who were lovers of money also heard all these things and they derided him.
Mm-hmm.
So they, and then Jesus responds to them, but it's about, because he knew their heart and that they loved money above all else. Because there are a lot of people who are poor as far as financially, you could say, but they still love money.
Sure,
they
do.
More than God.
Sure, they do.
And there are very rich people who love the Lord above all else. They just happen to be rich.
Right. Absolutely. You're right. All right. Let's see. Let's see what this young buck has to say.
I can pay for it. You have cancer? We'll get the best treatment. You left me? It's fine. I'll get somebody else. I'm flying to Miami tonight. If I have resources, I don't need God. It's an arrogant and prideful spirit that wants you to look to other things than God. And write this down. Mammon promises everything only God can deliver. Mammon promises you identity. It promises you security. And it promises you significance. And only God can give those things.
AJ, are you taking notes? Because he said write this down. Are
you
not taking notes?
No, I don't think I need to write this down. No.
Okay, because I don't want you to miss anything, AJ.
It promises happiness, and only God can give those things. It is a lie when we believe in the spirit of mammon. If I have more money, then people would listen to me. That's a lie. If I have more money, I would be more loved. That's a lie. If I have more money, I would be accepted. If I had more money, they would approve me. And I'm about to prove to you, everybody has dealt with the spirit of mammon. Because all of us at some point have said, either I need God to come through, or I need somebody to give me some money. And if you've ever said that, you have dealt with the spirit of mammon. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that God is coming to break the back of that spirit that has been over your family, over your household, and over your life. God wants you to live a blessed life. God wants you to be able to be a resource and do things that nobody's ever done, but we got to identify where we are here. And the truth of the matter is, most of us are hanging out at more money, more problems, or we're hanging out at more money, more pleasure. But where does God want all of us to actually be? See, because just because you have experienced prosperity does not mean you're in purpose. People who have money, it don't mean they're fulfilling God's plan for their life. And in our culture, we have equated success with acceptance from God. Oh, you were built to do that. No, he wasn't. He was actually built to be a father. But now he's replaced finances for fathering. And I need everybody to know the number of zeros in your account has nothing to do with the purpose that God has placed on your life. And the reason that this is so hard for many of us to even accept is because we've attached our identity. To money. And you don't see your value outside of your value. If I could tell you anything through this series, is you're worth more than anything you'll ever make. I know you don't believe it yet, because I didn't believe it. It took me years to know that spirit of mammon that was all over my house, that poverty that was on me, oh, did you not know that you could be living in both of these worlds at the same time?
Yeah.
I lived in the prosperity gospel and the poverty gospel. I know when God saw me coming, all he saw was this. Woo! Why did he see that? It's because I would go from here in one instance, and then I would be over here in another instance, struggling, hurt. I think I just did something to my back. I came in like a wrecking ball. This is what you look like. What is God saying? I don't want you at either extreme. I don't want you to believe the prosperity gospel. or the poverty gospel. I want you to believe in the purpose gospel. More money, more purpose. When I have more money, because my money is directed by God, more money means more what? Purpose. I can reach people. I can help people. I can rescue people. I can send family members into rehab. More money, more purpose. I can go buy somebody else some shoes that doesn't have them. I can be able to be one to go into North Tulsa and ask the educators, what do you need? Instead of asking for a government official to do what they'll never do because it doesn't make dollars and cents. The body of Christ is supposed to raise up and be the answer to the problem. More money, say more purpose. Say it what you mean. More money. More money. The sad truth is most of us do not have purpose for our resources. Most of our money is used for selfish reasons. So that's why God stops flowing it to you. Why do you always just have enough? Because you haven't found the purpose yet. More money, more purpose. More money, more problems, poverty gospel. More money, more pleasure, prosperity gospel. More money, more purpose. This is purpose gospel. I spent my whole message trying to get y'all to see something real simple to identify where are you. Is this?
I could have done that in 5 minutes.
More money, more purpose, huh? And the more money you have, the more you can help people. So what about Peter in Acts chapter 3 when he ran into the man at the gate, beautiful, and he said, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Again, this guy is talking from a worldly context. His whole framework is worldly.
Yes.
I read today in Proverbs, I think it's the 15th chapter, where Solomon says, if you're having salad for dinner and there's peace at home, happier you are than the man who is eating steak, but there is contention.
Mm-hmm.
See? So you're having a salad. You have to go vegan because you were forced to. But if there's happiness
right.
in the home, hey, you got it made. Then the guy who has a big steak and, you know, but he and his wife are fighting and they're at each other's throats. So the guy is talking from a worldly perspective. And all of that time, all that shouting, all the that medicine ball, all that stuff, all that theatrics, he said nothing. He said nothing.
Right. And
in
the few scriptures he did pull out, he took them way out of context. They didn't apply to what he was talking about. So I guess the apostles had no purpose because they didn't have any money.
Right.
But this guy at the gate, beautiful, would beg to differ, though. They gave him something that was more valuable.
Right. How about Lazarus, who was eating from the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table?
Mm-hmm.
What would the widow with the giving the two mites, what would she say?
Right.
More money, more purpose? She didn't have more money.
No, she didn't.
So, yeah. So, yeah. This is, a wasted exposition because the guy said absolutely nothing.
He didn't really expound on anything, though.
No.
not anything of value.
He's just talking it up because he's the pastor, and he can call this one up, and he can call that one up, and he'll hold the ball, and look what she's doing, and look what he symbolizes. All of that nonsense. That's all nonsense.
Well, at least he didn't hawk any loogies this time.
That's true. That's true. All right, let's see.
Is it based in fear? Or is it based in futility? Or the purpose gospel? Based in faith. I have faith that my God will supply all of my needs according to. So it's not my pleasure. And it's not my poverty. It's his plan.
See, when he quotes that scripture from Paul, who is writing from a prison cell, right? And he's broke. And when he says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory, not riches on earth. There's riches of the earth and there's riches of glory. So, and in order for you to say, my God, in order for you to quote that scripture, you have to be a born-again believer. You have to be a member of the genuine church. This is an apostate church. You can't quote that and think that God's going to back you up. You don't belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
And wasn't it Paul that talked about whatever state he's in, he learned to be content?
Right. That's the Christian life. You have a nice house today. Tomorrow the hurricane came and knocked it all down, and all your family heirlooms are gone with the wind, and you're starting from scratch again. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's see. Mr. Tadia, let's see his wrap-up.
When he has a plan for my life, all of my resources have a purpose. Proverbs 19:21. You can make plans. I love this because God is so gangster in the scripture. He's like, go ahead. You can make prosperity plans, and you can make poverty plans, because many are the plans of a man. But it's God's purpose that will prevail. And I'm asking everybody to never think again, more money, more problems. That's a poverty mentality based in fear.
Yeah.
And never again think more money, more pleasure, because that is a gospel based in futility. As long as we're doing the purpose that God called this church for, there will always be, watch this word, provision. This is where provision is. I'm not holding this up. I'm just touching it. Ugh. I'm not trying to make sure this stays in place. God has this in place. I don't have to finagle and manipulate and make a way for myself and create a new plan and allow somebody to see the vision. As long as I stay in the place of purpose, God will be the God of, everybody say, provision. This is what I want you to get in this Blessed Life series. If you commit to the purpose of God for your resources, he will always give you provision. Let me say something that we started saying. Oh, you know, this is crazy. I'm not even touching it no more. And it's not damaging me. It's associated with me. People look at me and be like, dang, he got the MMP. He got more money, more purpose. Like, how did he write a book and it went New York Times bestseller? Purpose.
Come on.
I wrote a book out of my pain and me and Natalie's problems and tried to encourage people so they wouldn't go through the same thing that we went through. I did something in purpose.
Sister AJ, do you believe that he wrote a book that became New York Times bestseller out of purpose?
No, because we learned that the New York Times bestseller list can be bought and paid for. It can be manipulated.
There you go. So that,
But what is the place of purpose? Who defines that? I mean, is this what everybody, a lot of people are catching on to the prosperity gospel, and a lot of people have been teaching and preaching against it. So is this Michael Todd's new name for it now? The gospel of purpose?
Well, whatever he calls it, it doesn't make any sense. Poverty, purpose, and process, it doesn't make, because here's the thing. In the world that we live in, you have poverty. Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president who followed Kennedy, tried to eradicate poverty when he started the Great Society. That's when welfare came on and they started, right? They haven't eradicated poverty. Poverty today is bigger than ever.
It's even worse.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay, now prosperity. What are people in one political party are saying about another group of people in political party? The rich are getting richer. There you have prosperity, right? And in between, you have regular folk like you and me living out purpose.
Right.
That's it. That's life. That's just the way life is.
Did the Lord Jesus have a poverty mentality when he said we would have the poor with us always?
No, it's just a fact.
Right.
That's just a fact.
Saying, according to what Michael is teaching,
you know,
what are you supposed to think about what the Lord himself said?
Correct. And Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, you got nothing. You're poor.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing. And yet he says, and yet you're rich. Then he looks at the church of Laodicea and says, look, you got all this stuff and yet you're poor. Right?
Right.
So, again, you're going to have them all. You're going to have a season in your life where you're broke. You're going to have a season in your life when you're better off. And you're going to have a season in your life where God requires purpose, that you do something for him. That's just life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes,
yeah.
you can't help the way you would like to because you can't even help yourself.
That's right.
So this sermon is just all over the place. I don't know what he's saying. I know he's got everything lined up in P words, he's trying to have a cutesy sermon,
but I think he's very gimmicky.
Yeah, yeah. Because even the medicine ball has no problems. More money, more problems. Even the medicine ball has it written on there.
Yes.
So, again, this, who knows what he's saying? All I know is the people there are saying, wow. 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 Maybe I need to get myself a hearing aid. I don't know. But from what I heard, he just doesn't make any sense.
No, you hear just fine, brother. You just don't really take any stock in what a brand donkey has to say, and that's what this is. But when you've been sufficiently dumbed down and brainwashed over the years, you think this stuff is profound.
Yeah, because think about it. Okay, after that sermon, what do I do? What practical, you know, it's like when I was teaching on POW and I was telling them, okay, this is what I encourage you to do. Take $30 a week. 1 week, buy $30 worth of non-perishable breakfast goods. Save it.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, take your other $30 and buy non-perishable lunch goods, stuff you can eat for lunch. Next $30, buy non-perishable dinner stuff, right? The next $30, you buy powdered drinks. Right? Okay, so there's a 4-week plan, and if there's a 5th week, you take the 5th week to $30 and you buy cleaning supplies. And that's how you built your little stash. That's how you tithe to yourself first. Right? Okay. I gave the people a simple little plan. Simple. After hearing this message, what do I do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do I get a medicine ball? Do I throw it around? What do I do?
I think that I guess you have to tune into the rest of the series. What did he say it was going to be, 6 weeks or something like that? So maybe
five
at the
weeks.
End of the 6 weeks. Maybe at the end of the 5 weeks he'll finally have a practical plan he can give the people, but I doubt it. I think the way the devil works through these things it's good to keep people confused, because then they have to depend on the Michael Todds of the world to tell them what they're supposed to do, what their purpose is. This is what you're supposed to do with your money. And it's really just give it all to them, or as much of it as you can get away with giving.
Yeah.
You're easily manipulated when you're confused.
Well, let's see. We got a few minutes. Let's see if he has something.
okay.
Let's see if he's got a breakthrough here somewhere, an epiphany. Let's see.
And God provided provision. Really? Well, Pastor Mike, how does that work? Well, the first thing that God blessed in this church, I'm just giving you real examples, was YouTube. And when you get a lot of views on YouTube, YouTube pays you money. And one of the things that happened, one of my offerings to God before anything happened, is God, we were trying to figure out how to, Tammy knows the whole story, we were trying to figure out, okay, how much money goes to the church, how much money goes to you because it's content that you made and all this other stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, Michael, give the first back to me. Huh? Don't take one penny from YouTube. Every message you preach, it goes back to the church. Now, Lord, I swung over to the poverty mentality, because I saw money in the moment, and I thought that's the only way God could provide for me. It's already working. We might as well get blessed from there. That's how I'm going to live the blessed life. And God said, no, get in my purpose. Okay, so give all of it, like not even a percentage. I can't get 10%. You get 10%. Did you think I don't? You? I'm just being real, y'all. He said, give it all. Sow the first. Not 1 year later, God tells me to put out relationship goals in purpose. Sells almost 1 million copies. Now, I don't know who's good at math. Why I got paid more than $2 a book. Where I was going to be getting cents on the dollar in poverty.
See, again, this works because this is Satan's kingdom. Satan elevates gurus. He gives them a brand. He gives them a platform so that they can be the Pied Piper to lead a certain group down to the gates of hell. That's all it is.
Right. So basically what he said with that little story is that so it is give to get. He gave away the YouTube money, and then he wrote that book, sold a bunch of copies, and made a bunch of money off of it, more than he would have made from YouTube.
Right. And on the other hand, he tells you don't give to get. Because then that's a prosperity gospel racket. But like you said, now you caught him. He was doing the prosperity angle.
Yeah.
So you can always see how they contradict themselves. Now, if you were to bring that up, The deacons will take the medicine ball and beat us up with the medicine ball.
Yes, they would.
Because we contradicted the bishop or whatever he is.
Right.
All righty. We stopped it at the 1 hour, 10 minute mark. So when we come back next week, because this, believe it or not, this goes on for another 32 minutes.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
So he's been saying nothing this whole time.
This whole time he's been saying nothing. Absolutely nothing. And wow. Well, listen, I don't even get that from my kids. I talk to them and do I never get a wow. Never.
They act like he's Socrates or something.
I'm
Please.
Telling you. Socrates Todd. Socrates Todd. Wow. Sister AJ, we're out of time. Great show. And you have the last word.
Well, as always, just thank everyone for listening. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you here next time, Lord willing. Bye-bye.